Guess what, fellas? The boys are buzzing because hockey is back. Want to know what else is buzzing? The Lawnmower 4.0 from our friends at Manscaped. They are the global leaders in male grooming, trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Don't get chirped this year for having a disaster below the waist. Join the Manscaped movement for all your hairiest grooming needs. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code HAYES, that's HAYES, at manscaped.com. Use the promo code HAYES at manscaped.com and you'll save 20% off plus free shipping.
I got my peaches out in Georgia. Oh yeah. I get my weed from California.
All right, I got something that I got to start the show with today.
Let her rip, Al's brother.
I just saw possibly the most offside thing that you could ever do. Like, literally ever. So I was just scrolling Facebook, because apparently I'm also 54 years old and still somewhat at least peruse Facebook from time to time.
I still like Facebook. I like to know what everybody from high school's up to.
And I see my dad has posted a photo. It turns out my mother is currently putting up a Christmas tree in her living room.
I can't go to air right now and make fun of your mother because she's probably a nice lady.
She could very well be listening.
And I like that she's spreading the joy of Christmas. It is definitely a little early.
Like, November 1st is somewhat early.
Yeah.
Doing it before October, is this not, like, blasphemous?
That's blasphemous. I'm definitely a post-Remembrance Day Christmas kind of girl. Like, after Remembrance Day, then you can get into it if you feel like it. Pre-Halloween is unheard of.
This is crazy. And the best part is the caption. She's lost her mind. Dot, dot, dot.
Just to be clear, that was your dad that posted that.
Yes, my father. She's lost her mind. And she has lost... Now, I'll say this. My mother's birthday is Christmas Day. So Christmas means...
she's getting the hype
she
going.
Loves Christmas. Christmas is her favorite day of the year. Yep. She's really, you know, she decks out the house from top to bottom outside. But it is what, October 21st? This is insane. Absolutely insane. I don't know if you're listening, Mom, but going home to seeing a Christmas tree is going to be really bizarre here when there should be like some weird skeletons around in the house. Bizarre.
Yeah, okay. I'm glad that you got that off your chest, Al's brother. I just said who that is. It's Al's brother. I'm Julie Teixeira. You're listening to Leafs Lunch on 1050. We're going to have Craig Button joining us soon. So the Leafs had a day off yesterday. They're back on the ice right now. Good news from Leafs practice. Kasha back on the ice in a regular jersey. Looks like he's feeling a little bit better. They had a day off yesterday, like I just said, and they had their Halloween party. AB, I thought that their Halloween party was a little bit early, and your mom's throwing out Christmas.
It made sense, right? Like, they had the off day yesterday, and now we know why. They were recovering from the green light special they had the other night.
Green light
now,
special.
What I found hilarious is, like, the way that you were pretty quick to figure this out, actually. You sent a text. I think it was, what, Jack Campbell's? A costume?
Guys, Jack Campbell and his girlfriend went as... So the Leafs Halloween party, the theme of the party was food. I'll give that context. And Jack Campbell and his girlfriend went as Crab Linguini. Do you remember at the start of the season, there was
lobster.
That whole bit about Jack Campbell bringing the team to Red Lobster? So that, I thought that was funny.
But it was just hilarious because you were literally just sending us a random photo. You're like, guys, I think the Maple Leafs had their Halloween party last night, and you just went total, like, Nancy Drew detective and just found all of these photos.
Yeah.
And then hours later, they started to circulate online, and I was like, Julia was all over this a couple hours ago.
If you need anything done, if you need any information, if you need to know something about someone who has the internet, who has a presence online... Don't hire the FBI. Don't hire a private investigator. Talk to a girl between the ages of, I'll go 15 and 25. I'll have your social insurance number. I'll know everyone that they dated and everything about them in like 20 minutes.
That's so scary. That's so scary to know that. Like, that is a skill. That is an absolute skill. And it seems like y'all just love it, apparently.
Yeah, you got to get your creep on every once in a while.
Leafs back in practice today, though. I think I saw Andre Kasha has returned to the ice after missing practice on Tuesday. Took that block shot and then missed practice, so he's back. So that's good news. So tomorrow night he'll be in action when they take on the Sharks. They play at 6 p.m. Did you see that? There's a 6 p.m. game.
Weird,
against the Sharks.
I think Steph, our producer, asked Masters and said, what's up with the 6 p.m. start? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's kind of bizarre. And so last night the Raptors had their season opener.
Yeah, okay, this
and
is interesting.
So they sold out. And a big thing that we've been talking about here on the show and within Leafs Nation is just kind of how dull the Leafs crowd has been. Like,
yeah,
there's not many people showing up to these Leafs games. And we thought maybe it was because COVID's still kind of lurking.
Yeah,
some people are afraid. Right. And then, you know, maybe the ticket prices are a bit too high. And
that's always the case with the Leafs.
And
though, I checked StubHub this week. You can get into the Leafs game tomorrow night against the Sharks. $90, $80. I hope I was looking at CADs, but I think I was. I double checked that, but that's the lowest I've ever seen, even in the 300s.
Yeah, no, that's pretty good. If you can get in to watch a Leaf game for like $80, $85, like for sure, that's something that you haven't been able to do in a while. But I just find it interesting how the Raptors, game one, they're able to sell out. And the Leafs, and this is supposed to be a Leafs town, struggling to get butts in seats.
I don't know if it's Leafs town anymore. I think the Raptors, I don't know. It's definitely still a hockey town. This is the mecca of the hockey universe. Toronto loves their Leafs, but
they've given the fans a lot more to celebrate, a lot more to engage with, right?
We're just talking about it. Like, I was at Ryerson when the Raps won the championship. I'm more of a hockey nerd. I'm admittedly mostly a hockey nerd. I'll dabble in the Jays and the Raptors when the time is right. But, I think the Raptors are a little bit more universally loved than the Leafs.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. There's still a lot of time to go until
If the Leafs go on a run and get past that first round, everybody will be back on the Leafs wagon. Okay, let's bring in TSN hockey analyst Craig Button. Craig, off the top, we saw the Leafs had their Halloween party recently. As a GM, did you ever partake in Halloween activities with the team?
I cannot confirm or deny, because the whole idea is to wear a costume.
Yeah.
And if you cannot be recognized, then, you know, that's the best costume.
So Craig Button was not there, but some form of him might have been.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Can you?
That's all I can tell you. Listen, if you think I'm potentially, the word there, potentially blowing any cover, you're wrong. I don't need to celebrate, you know, something that happened or didn't happen. I'm just telling you, suspense is better.
Well, Craig, can you at least tell us, maybe you weren't at the party, maybe you were, we're not nor confirming nor denying, but at least you must have heard rumblings throughout your many years in hockey as the GM, and is there somebody who had, like, that you had played with or somebody that played for you that had a knack for being that guy on Halloween who just went ham and always had great costumes? Like, who was that guy?
I would have to say Mike Keane would probably be the guy, but,
okay.
But Mike Keane didn't need Halloween to dress up. I mean, he dressed up as our coach Ken Hitchcock one time in the dressing room and did a great imitation. And Mike is a character. I've seen him do a lot of different things, and I wasn't around him very much, and I still saw him do some really funny things. You know, you should talk to some of his former teammates, because I am sure that there are many Mike Keane stories.
That is awesome. Craig, before we get to the Leafs, big storyline in Canadian hockey right now. Habs haven't had the start they wanted, and Kotkaniemi makes his return to Montreal tonight, the team that drafted him third overall in 2018. Could it happen at a worse time for the Habs? What do you think the reception for him is going to be like at the Bell Center tonight?
Well, there'll be a video tribute, right? I mean, they have to have a video tribute. Doesn't everybody get a video tribute?
I don't know. Did he play there for long? Do you get a video tribute if you don't play there for that long? Like, how many games do you need under your belt?
He played there for 3 years. He played there for 3 seasons.
Who was the Maple Leaf a couple of years ago that got a video tribute? There was like five players who got a tribute in one game, and one guy played there for like...
It was the Ottawa Senators. Like, the Ottawa, they did a tribute for the whole Ottawa Senators team last year.
Yeah, it was like
2 years ago.
It was crazy. But
it is crazy. So, you know what? The Kotkaniemi story should be about 17th on the list of things in Montreal right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I can name about 17 players, and the power play and the penalty kill and the defensive play and the 0-4 start and everything that goes with it. If people are going to focus in on Kotkaniemi in Montreal, they are clearly focused in on the wrong things.
Yeah, well, Bergevin had like an impromptu media availability yesterday. He said he's not going to make a change just to make a change, and that he kind of likes the team. They're just not playing up to potential. As somebody who was a former GM in the league, you've been in that position. Like, at what time do you think a change will need to be made here if things continue to go south? Like, does Bergevin, the fact that he's on a one-year deal and his deal's expiring, does this somewhat handcuff him at all for making these decisions for this season?
So, AB, you've asked me a couple of questions there. Number one, so what, I mean, how revealing. I'm not going to make a change just to make a change. Wow! That's like groundbreaking.
Yeah.
Really? Wow! Like, whoa! Like, really? Give me a break. A manager makes changes to try to improve the team, right? That's what you're doing. I don't need a comment from Mark Bergevin saying, I'm not going to make a change for change's sake. You know what? You're always evaluating your team. You're always looking. And you could have won 4 in a row and scored 15 goals, and you might still be thinking about, okay, what can I look to make a change? Yeah, like, so anyway, that's that. Number two, about Mark Bergevin's future. Did Philip Deneau go into last year of his contract last year?
Yep.
Did Philip Deneau stop doing his job?
Nope.
No. So, Mark Bergevin, I hate the idea. I don't buy into this lame duck garbage, okay? Your job is to be the manager. We all know you don't have a contract, but your duties are to do the job until you no longer have the job. And if you're going to start sitting here playing the whole, oh, I'm a lame duck, or oh, he's a lame duck, I'm not saying Mark's playing that, but that's the whole time. No, it doesn't wash. Do your job.
So
like Bill Belichick said, do your job. That's Mark Bergevin's only mandate.
So at what point here do you think he will have to make a change then? Like, at how far south does this have to go before something happens here in Montreal?
Well, I'm not going to put a time frame on it. I'm going to say that if right now he could make a change to improve the team, he should do it. And if there's not something, again, that they can't improve the team, well, then you shouldn't do it. I know I'm stating the obvious here, but like,
yeah.
to have a press conference to tell everybody I'm not going to just make a change to make a change? Wow. Should have been headlines across all news channels. Mark Bergevin not going to make a change just to make a change.
Last have one, Craig, then we'll move on to the Leafs. Caulfield start. You said that Kotkaniemi doesn't make your top five Hab stories. Does Caulfield's kind of lame start make your top five?
The Montreal Canadiens have scored 3 goals.
Yeah.
Only Jonathan Drouin as a forward has scored, and he scored 2 of them. And then you have Weidman who scored the other one. Listen, nobody's scoring. Toffoli's not scoring. I'm not worried about Cole Caulfield. Actually, watching the games in Montreal, I think Cole Caulfield's been fine in terms of his attack and where he's getting opportunities and how he's trying to get those opportunities. Listen, if you're going to focus in on one player, I mean, there, like I said, there's 17, 18 players that you could look at and say, hey, listen, we should be really concerned. And there's no area of their team. There's no area, other than Jake Allen, who I think has been really good for them, no area of your team that should be off limits in terms of examination or being put on the microscope, Cole Caulfield included.
In conversation with Craig Button, TSN hockey analyst, we brought this up in Good Call, Bad Call yesterday, Craig, and I want your opinion on it. Which player is more important for the Leafs to re-sign this offseason? Would it be Jack Campbell or Morgan Rielly?
Well, I mean, if you're asking me about the important, I mean, those are both really important players. I don't know where you find players like Morgan Rielly. I mean, he was the 5th overall pick. He plays 25 minutes a night. He plays all situations in the game. So, you know, you want to see what a hole looks like on your blue line? Don't re-sign Morgan Rielly. And those players don't come along. They're not readily available. We know what the dollars, parameters will be with respect to a contract. And they have Peter Mrazek under contract. And you know what, in acquiring Jack Campbell, and I think Jack Campbell's really, really good and certainly has shown a lot of capability, but you know, I think that there might be more opportunity to find a goaltender like Jack Campbell, or that can fill the role that Jack Campbell has fulfilled. And that's not to downgrade Jack Campbell, but Morgan Rielly, to me, I don't know where you find those guys. I don't know where you find those guys that are critical in every single situation and can meet every single challenge that is put forth by opponents.
One on Nick Robertson here, Craig Button. You got a feel for that kid, right? He's expected to miss 10 weeks, broke his fibula. How do you think this affects his development? I don't know why I called you Craig Button there, by the way, your full name. That was weird of me.
Well, you know, Steph always calls me Craig J. Button.
That was bizarre of me. Yeah. As soon as it came out of my mouth,
bizarre.
It was weird.
It's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. That's okay. Kara Wagland and Lindsay Hamilton call me Craig J., so you don't have to worry about that. No worries. Here's the challenge with Nick. Okay, so why don't we just look back at Nick's March of 2020. Pause. Nick comes back, you know, there's no playing, comes back, he plays a handful of games for the Toronto Maple Leafs in the play-in series. And he doesn't play. He doesn't play in the World Junior. Don't get me started on that, because yeah. I think that was a massive mistake at the
I'm
time.
With you there, Craig.
And okay, so, you know, and then he comes in last year, doesn't really get his point. He gets hurt last year. Okay, so now he goes through a stretch. I mean, he comes back, he plays a handful of games. Now he's hurt again this year. We're going on 2 years now that he hasn't played very many games.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, that impacts development. That impacts development. And, you know, unfortunately, for Nick, who is a really, really talented player and somebody that certainly the Leafs are counting on and I think has a lot of promise, the fact is that when you miss that much time, you're not only missing development time, but you're also you're healing injuries. It's taken away from working on your game and everything that goes with it. So you're healing, and at the same time you're healing, you're not developing. And I think what has to happen is there has to be a real understanding that now you're probably looking at a little bit of a longer course for him to find footing with the Toronto Maple Leafs rather than a shorter one.
Craig, we were talking with Mike Kelly yesterday, and he brought up a big factor for Andrei Kopitar's strong start due to having Phil Deneau take away a lot of his defensive responsibilities and allowing Kopitar to kind of focus more on his offensive game. We know in the past that Sheldon Keefe has said that he really wants a shutdown line. He attempted that at times last year, ultimately, though, had to kind of use Hyman up on the top line. But do you think a guy like David Kampf can have a similar effect for the Maple Leafs and allow the Matthews and Tavares line to focus on a more of an offensive role here?
Well, that's the goal. I would say that's the goal. I mean, time will tell. I mean, David Kampf came from a very poor defensive team in Chicago, where you know that to suggest that he was a strong defensive player would be a reach. Now, I mean, I know that the situation impacts play and performance. So can he get into a spot with the Toronto Maple Leafs where he can fulfill that role? You know, that's what the Leafs are betting on. That's what the Leafs signed him for. And, you know, that's what that's what they hope can develop with David Kampf. You know, he's been good on faceoffs. He shows an understanding of it. Well, now he's just got to, I guess the term I would use, he's got to get reps and he's got to keep doing it. And the more having success and being able to do it, and it's going to be different than when he was in Chicago because – you know, the way Sheldon wants the Leafs to play with the puck, you know, not giving up the puck, you know, that takes some of the pressure instead of chasing around. You know, Chicago Blackhawks, you know, defensively were chasing a lot and didn't have a lot of ability with the puck, and they struggled. And that's going to impact performance, certainly, for any player, and certainly that's what happened with David. But, you know, this is where you're trying to assess, and just because a player might not have had the level of success you want in where he was previously doesn't mean you can't put him into an environment where he can have it. So, you know, given that, you know, I think you're looking at potential, but I certainly can't say with certainty that he can do that, but he certainly shows an understanding and, you know, you have to hold out some promise that he can fulfill that.
We heard you talking about Mitch Marner yesterday on That's Hockey. We played the clip on Leafs Lunch. Essentially, you were trying to soothe Leafs Nation, getting them to cool their jets. John Tavares, kind of in a similar situation, hasn't put up as many points as he's probably wanted so far this season. If you're a GM, if you're Kyle Dubas, do you pull these guys into your room and you talk to them and you say, hey, don't listen to the noise. I see what you guys are doing on the ice. I know that it's not translating to the point sheet, to the score sheet rather, but it'll go? Or do you just let them keep doing their thing and know that they'll start to go for those two guys?
Okay. Mitch Marner, in his press conference the other day, I thought answered it perfectly.
Yeah.
Like, what's Mitch supposed to do? Just say, you know what, I'm going to score just because you tell me to score? Like, if scoring was that easy.
If only. If only,
he'd score every shift.
Like, yeah. Listen,
Julia and AB, it's ridiculous. Mitch Marner is the first team all-star right winger. As a manager or as a coach, if you're watching the game and you're going, what would I tell Mitch Marner? Like to do? What would I do? What would I tell him? And I would say, I wouldn't tell him to do a damn thing different. I would say, just keep doing what you're doing. Because you can't just decide you're going to score because somebody tells you you're going to score. You know, the word process gets overused lots. Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews ruled the game Monday versus the New York Rangers. Ruled the game.
Yeah.
Okay? You know, there's another big thing here that you have to keep in mind. You know, the other team and the goalie, you know, that guy that wears those pads and everything, he's trying to stop you from scoring. You know, he's trying to stop you while you're trying to do it, right?
It's so always annoying when they do that.
Yeah, well, it is annoying and it's frustrating, right? And let me just say this, okay? I think where we've reached, and, you know, Mitch Marner, I'm not worried about Mitch Marner. Like, give me a break. There's nothing to be worried about. So here's what I would say to both of you. And everybody listening, you know, there's been this big debate about analytics and the eye test and everything, right? Guess what? There's three parts. And this is where you better be able to look at. There's the eye test, what you're watching and everything and what you see. Then there's the analytics, what does the data tell you? And then there's the stat sheet, and what does that tell you? So everybody picks up the stat sheet and goes, oh, Mitch Marner, only one assist, he's struggling. Really? Really? You better be careful about what you use to make your evaluations, because there's a lot of different tools to make evaluations, and you got to make the proper evaluation. It's not just using the tools. It's understanding what tools will give you the proper evaluation. If you just want to look at the stat sheet and say Mitch Marner with one assist isn't playing very well, you're an idiot.
We'll get you out on this one here. A team that also is kind of stuttering out of the gate here, the Winnipeg Jets, announced today that Scheifele is now entering COVID protocol as well, 0-2-1 to start the year. What's your level of concern when it comes to the Jets and how they've played so far to start the year?
Well, I think that the way they played at the start of the year is a real concern, AB. I think that when you look at the Winnipeg Jets, some of the things that have plagued them in past years, I can't continue to rear their ugly head. And we can talk about Scheifele being out for the first game, Blake Wheeler being out for the last game, but the self-inflicted wounds, the areas that continue to pose problems for them, you know, penalties, interference, holding, stick penalties, which is really just bad positioning and not being in the right spots and chasing around and not being disciplined. The fourth goal against Minnesota the other night on Tuesday, It was a slash on the hands by Neil Pionk. The overtime winner, was on a power play. That was Josh Morrissey holding Kirill Kaprizov when he was 60 feet away from your net. And like, sorry, unacceptable. And so when I look at the Winnipeg Jets, and Mike Johnson and I have talked about this, we see a team on paper that looks really, really good and looks like, in my view, is a contending team. But paper doesn't win you anything. It's about putting into practice. And right now, they got some gaps in their play, some real gaps in their play. And you can look at it and say, players, coaching, right now, that's a level of concern because, you know, where it looked like they were going to start out the year with against teams that didn't have a good record last year, you know, they lose to Anaheim, they lose to San Jose, they're up 5-3 against Minnesota, a real challenger, and now they're without Scheifele, now they're without Wheeler, and it doesn't get any easier for them. So I would say the concern in Winnipeg should be significant.
Well, quickly here, just to follow up on that, I mean, how much of this is on the coaching, and could Paul Maurice maybe be on the hot seat right now?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I've learned is that, you know, I'm not one to sit here and start saying a coach should be on the – what I can tell you is this, AB, is that the coach has – responsibilities for the way the team plays. And it's really simple. You know, under the domain of the coach is discipline, certain things. And when the same things continue to happen, The coach has to correct them. You have to, and you're going to run into problems, and the coaches have to find solutions to those problems. And simply put, and this is the way I always put it, you know what? It's up to the manager. It's up to the coaches. You help them work through. They discuss it. They're always looking for solutions, but they have to find solutions. And if the time comes where you got concerns about their ability to find solutions, you may have to consider a change.
Well, Craig, absolute treat to talk to you, as always. I you were so fired up yesterday in Overdrive, by the way. You brought that passion here again today.
Love it.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, it's Craig Button, TSN hockey analyst. Really appreciate him joining us each and every week. One of the regulars here on the show, and we love to have him on. Brady Tkachuk making his season debut tonight. I got a question for you on the other side in reference to that. So stay tuned here on Leafs Lunch. I'm Mike DiStefano. She's Julia Teixeira. We'll come back and we're going to play some overreaction or appropriate reaction. We'll do that here on Leafs Lunch.
Is brought to you in part by LeaseBusters. It's so easy to get out of your car lease at Canada's number one lease takeover marketplace, LeaseBusters. Avoid penalties and early termination. Go to LeaseBusters.com. Welcome back to Leafs Lunch. I'm Julia Teixeira from Bar Down. I've got Mike, Al's brother, DiStefano. By the way, that's part of your like transformation into, you know, how Dwayne The Rock Johnson and yeah. It's like Mike, Al's brother, DiStefano. Here with me, as always, AB, you teased before the break you had a thought about Big Bad Brady Tkachuk making his season debut tonight.
Yeah, looks like he's going to start tonight and finally make his season debut as the San Jose Sharks roll into town. And that's got a couple different storylines, clearly.
There's layers. There's layers to this tea.
Exactly. Eric Karlsson coming back to Ottawa. Mm-hmm. So there's that game. But how savage would it be if Brady Tkachuk skates out onto the ice for the first time with Karlsson in the building, if they skate Brady out wearing the C?
Listen, I'm all for drama. I'm all for a little bit of NHL tea, but I just don't think that'll be the case. I think they'll give it to him. I think they'll give it a little time before they slap the C on. But then again, I'd be very interested to see him come out with a C on tonight.
I'm for that type of savagery.
But do you think it'll happen?
I'm gonna take a stance.
Okay.
Like, I think this might actually happen tonight.
Okay.
Like, if I had to put money on it, throw down like a wager.
I don't really
not,
bet, but I'll bet in Starbucks or coffee of any sort.
All right, if it happens, you're buying me a coffee.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, I'm buying you one.
But I'm not buying you an old-fashioned donut because you're a young man, and I will buy you a double chocolate donut.
Okay, well, we can agree on that. Then we'll go donuts. We'll do a donut bet here.
All right, now let's play some overreaction or appropriate reaction. We love an overreaction here in Leafland. So let's gauge. We'll go around the league a little. We'll stick with the Leafs, and we'll decide if these statements, the things that are going around right now, are overreactions or appropriate reactions. First one, Michael Bunting. Certified beauty is going to be a Calder candidate by the season's end.
Yeah, appropriate reaction.
Oh, come on.
No, this is an appropriate reaction. Absolutely. Like, the way that Michael Bunting is playing right now, he's one of the best rookies out there. Now, he just narrowly makes the rookie. Like,
that's the thing about this sort of... there's got to be some sort of cap, age cap.
Well, there is. It's 26. But it's 26 by like, September 15th. Yeah. The league year, he made it by, like, 2 days.
Really?
I'm not kidding you. By 2 days, he made it. Like, there's a few different thresholds that he like just snuck under it actually.
Yeah, I
that
know
makes
the games thing, especially like he's just under game wise.
It's actually crazy, but I actually think that Michael Bunting, Mike Kelly said it yesterday, he has him as that breakout player in the NHL this season. You know, he said this is going to be this year's Carter Verhaeghe, who had a 33 goal campaign a year ago. I'm not saying he's going to score 33, but if this guy can come out here, be a legitimate player here in the top six for the Maple Leafs, score maybe 25-ish goals in and around that number, be a pest, be a two-way or a net front presence, and what if he gets elevated to that top line with Marner and Matthews?
Yeah, this is all interesting. There's just I don't deny that Bunting's going to have an unreal season, a breakout season. He's probably going to play with Mitch and Austin at some point. I'm just looking around the league and going, oh, that guy's pretty good, and that guy's pretty good. Like Trevor Zegras, I'm expecting a big year out of. Cole Caulfield, Craig was just saying, he looks really good right now. Vancouver's got Podkolzin? Is that how you say
Yeah, but it's Vasily Podkolzin. Yeah, I mean, the problem with Podkolzin.
Got into your territory.
Yeah, a little bit. But the problem with Podkolzin, he's not playing too much. Like, Bunting actually is getting the playing time. He's playing up in the top six.
Spencer Knight looked unreal for the Panthers
now, two nights Spencer ago. Knight is an interesting one.
Spencer Knight looked good. I don't know how many games he's going to get, but he looked good.
Yeah.
Against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Did you see that 5-on-3?
I did. I think I saw a stat that he is on pace. He hasn't lost a start in the NHL yet.
Yeah, like, he looks good. This is no Michael Bunting slander. This is a Michael Bunting slander free zone. I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of guys around the league that look good right now.
Yeah, but the question is candidate. I think he could be one of the top three candidates come NHL awards time.
Okay. Overreaction or appropriate reaction? The Florida Panthers look like the favorites to win the Atlantic Division.
I'll let you start off with this one.
Appropriate reaction. Okay. I like the Florida Panthers a lot. I like the way they look. I like the way that they're led. I like Spencer Knight. I like everything about the way the Florida Panthers are built. And I thought that the Battle of Florida kind of underwhelmed me in its first. It didn't. The preseason Battle of Florida did not disappoint. The first iteration of the Battle of Florida in season kind of disappointed. But you saw so many elements of greatness from the Florida Panthers, even when, like, Tampa Bay is an unbelievable team. Even when they were pushing so hard, Florida was holding them off. So I kind of like Florida to win this division, but I did pick the Leafs to win like 2 weeks ago. So.
I think this isn't an appropriate reaction. It's not an overreaction. And this isn't me saying that they're going to win the division.
Yeah.
But I think this is an appropriate reaction that they have a chance to do it. This team is good enough to do it. One of the things coming in where I wasn't sold on this team, but I thought there were some question marks coming in with Florida. I wasn't sure if some of those guys who had big seasons last year, were they going to carry that over? Like Carter Verhaeghe had a monstrous year. He was a one-hit wonder at basically last year at age 25. Could he do that again this year? He's off to a good start. He's got a couple of goals, 4 points in three games. Sam Bennett had a hat trick the one night. He's got 3 goals already this season. He was somebody who I wasn't so sure if he was going to be able to rebound and have a good season after a strong finish to last year after getting traded from Calgary. And then defensively, they played well, and Spencer Knight again was a bit of a question mark as a rookie goaltender, but he's played well. And Sergei Bobrovsky so far, .935 save percentage through his two starts so far. I mean, Bobrovsky's kind of a wild card on this team. He's always a wild card no matter where he's been. But if they can get him going, and if he can be the type of Vezina-like goalie that we've seen in the past, you pair that up with Spencer Knight, who's also an incredible up-and-coming young goaltender.
Yeah, like a big one, too.
You've got one of the best two-way players in the league, a guy who I think is a top-10 guy, Alex Barkov, and you know, Jonathan Huberdeau, a stud. They have the horses to definitely contend and to compete in this Atlantic Division. But here's the other thing, too. Nikita Kucherov out for an extended period of time with Tampa Bay. Like, Tampa Bay came in as the favorite.
Kuch is going to try to get back in as soon as he can. He wants playing those Olympics so bad.
There's that too. But can he?
I'm just saying, like, he's going to push to get in as soon as he can.
But I think it's between those two right now, right? Between Florida and Tampa, and that Kucherov injury murkies things up a little bit for them.
Yeah.
And the way that the Panthers have come out flying.
I thought you were going to... The Lightning are going to pick someone up. I was like,
They're going to toss him on LTIR, but they're going to bring him back. So they can't really replace his salary.
No.
Like, that's the biggest issue here with it was kind of like last year when the Leafs didn't put Freddie on LTIR, even though they probably should have because they only started him one game after the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. So they weren't able to really use his salary, so they had to do some finagling to get Foligno onto the team. The Lightning aren't going to be able to do that. I've heard... Yeah. People say, oh, maybe they'll go out and they'll just replace his salary and bring in, like, Jack Eichel or Johnny Gaudreau or somebody. I just don't see it happening. Like, the way that they're going to have to bring him back.
Okay, we have to keep going. We're going to run out of time. Speaking of Jack Eichel, the Buffalo Sabres might not be the dumpster fire we all expected them to be. 3-0. They were chanting that in Buffalo a couple nights ago, 8,000 fans that were there. But nonetheless, 3-0, baby, the Buffalo Sabres.
It's an overreaction. I think they're still not a good team. Like,
they're still not a good team. There's pieces I like. I like Tage Thompson's look good so far. They're definitely not as bad to start as we thought they'd be.
I think they'll settle back into that, though. Like, at the end of the day, they're still the bottom dwellers, and they'll be in the fight for right at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Like, I still...
You
this
think
is
they'll
mirage.
Finish the very last place?
They'll be in there along with, like, Arizona and some other teams that aren't really going to play well. That, like, New Jersey, I don't know how they're going to do. I think I saw Jack Hughes is injured now for a little bit. See how they can overcome that. But I think that they will be towards the end of the year, or towards the bottom half of the league by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this 3-0 start is a good story, but an overreaction. They still are not great.
The Edmonton Oilers are the best team in Canada. I'm going to go overreaction on this one. They look really good. They've got two of the best players in the league. I still think Winnipeg has a lot more to give. Mm-hmm. Like Craig was just saying, one of the best teams on paper. If they give us some of that on the ice, it'd be great. And then there's that Maple Leafs team that's also, as they say, pretty good.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to go out of my way and say the Oilers are the best team in Canada right out of the gate.
I don't think it's an overreaction, though, so I think it is a proper reaction. They very well could be. Like, here's the X factor. They have a guy named Connor McDavid on this team. Yeah, he's pretty good, you know what I mean? So he's going to go out there, he's going to put up a bunch of points, and he's going to drag this team to victories and pick up 2 points on by himself, basically.
Yeah.
Here's the interesting part, though. Mike Smith was put on IR last year. He was massive for them last season in the pipes. Now we got Koskinen and Stuart Skinner. Is that going to be enough goaltending for them to move forward?
Okay, off the board really quick, not related to hockey. O-Dog's threat to make his Thursday night football picks without you, AB. Overreaction or appropriate reaction? Team Aldog 2-9 versus Team Hayes in the last 11 picks.
Overreaction, I believe.
You have your own show now, so you can use it to save your skin.
This is absolutely an overreaction. Like, he needs me. Let's be honest. The O-Dog needs Al's brother. We've been in a little bit of a funk. Hayes has just been pulling rabbits out of his butt here, and he's been backdoor covering everything. And I think that things are about to swing here. But the momentum's going in our direction.
All right, fair enough. I'll believe you, but you don't have to prove anything to me. It's O-Dog that you have to prove.
Yeah, well, we'll see if I can talk something into him tonight. We gotta make a pick tonight, Broncos and Cleveland Browns, and that game will be tonight on TSN 1050, actually. I'm Mike DeStefano. She's Julia Tesheri. Former Maple Leaf Shane Corson joining us next. You're listening to Leafs Lunch here on TSN 1050.
Welcome back to Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050. I'm Julia. He's Al's brother. And joining us now is former Toronto Maple Leaf Shane Corson. Shane, how's it going? Oh, Steph's got him on the phone. Steph's talking to him.
Classic Steph.
I know.
Classic Steph. She just has to sit there, chit-chat, good old friends, and just seeing what's going on. Shane, you got us?
I got you.
Beautiful. Thank you for joining us here on Leafs Lunch.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Anytime. Shane, you're taking part in this year's Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer, fundraiser in support of the Princess Margaret. It's on Saturday, October 30th at the Vaughan Metropolitan Center. You're one of the celebrities that can be drafted the night before by one of the top fundraising teams. Are you a little nervous? Drafted? You haven't been drafted in a while.
That's been a long time since 1984. I got drafted in the first round, so I'm not sure if I'm going to cut the first round this time or not. But it's an amazing cause, and it's special to my heart, too. I've played in the Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer for many, many years, and it's just so much fun to be out there with the fans, actually, and hang out with the fans and talk to them and get a chance to know them a bit, and they get a chance to know us a bit. And like, I lost my dad at 45, so it's just a perfect fit. I get to go out and raise some money for cancer that took my dad's life and have fun doing it and talk about some great memories that I had with him too. It's not all bad. It's got to be a great, happy day, and just happy and excited to be a part of it. It's always a fun day.
Shane, why? Like, I'm just taking a look at the list of guys here who are going to be taking part of this. You got yourself, Darcy Tucker, Wendell Clark, Ally Afraidy.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of bruisers from the NHL that are out here. Like, how aggressive does it get out there for you guys?
Bud, you know how we work. When we get into any kind of game, it's going to be competitive and chippy. There's only one speed for all of us guys that you just mentioned. We want to go out there and win. It's not just for fun. Trust me.
I mean,
it's always fun. I mean, it's a great cause, and that's the main reason you're there. But, you know, we can't take that competitive juice out of us. So it's going to be a good time.
Who would you say is the guy who just tries way too hard out there?
I can't sure anybody right now. I mean, we're all pretty competitive. we all get pretty competitive, especially when the guy that I was going to say lives down the street with me and might be married to my sister. But anyways, you know what? The funny thing is, I can't lie. I get pretty competitive, too. I just love to play. And then once you step onto the court where we're playing, because we're playing ball hockey, not ice, thank you. Mm-hmm. But the ice is a bit easier. You can glide a bit on the ball court on the hockey road hockey court. You can't glide. It's stopping and starting. I can't walk for days after I'm finished playing. I can't go up down the stairs, so I sleep on the couch. But we all get pretty competitive. We all get pretty competitive, and it's a great deal. And the team, sometimes you get with teams, the captain, like, he's giving you, yelling at you, trying to get your butt moving. And I'm going, okay, geez, he wants to win this thing. But it just makes it for more fun. And I mean, it's like something I'm doing right now with, Molson's and the Leafs and the Canadians and the Oilers are all doing this thing called, Molson Hall of Fan. That's for the fans. And I mean, just to get to do things like that and be with the fans, they're so important to the game of hockey. They've given us so much and done so much for us and pushed us and gave us the energy, and to see them back in the buildings, it's amazing for them. But I'm going to tell you right now, for the players, it just gives them that added energy and passion to go and play hard every night for the fans, because they're the reason why we play a game that we love to play, and we can do it and make a living at it. So it's just gonna be a fun all around day and a lot of laughs. There's a lot of good times, there are a lot of jokes, and maybe a few pops drank too, and nobody drink and drive though. Make sure you take an Uber or have a DD, right? Yeah. I'm a driver.
Absolutely, absolutely. In conversation with Shane Corson, former Maple Leafs player, you spoke about a guy who may be a little rough and tumble in the games. He's actually going to be on Overdrive later tonight at 5:05. And speaking of Darcy Tucker, he gave Michael Bunting the stamp of approval on Twitter the other day. Does he also get the stamp of approval from Shane Corson? What's been your impressions of Bunting's game so far?
Well, I mean, Tux is all over social media. He's really good at it. But Michael Bunting played with my son in Sault Ste. Marie, so I've known Michael for quite a few years now. And I got to watch him in junior when he first came in with the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds. And he's just a competitive, hard-working hockey player that plays all areas of the game, defensive zone, offensive zone. Plays in the neutral zone and goes to the net and isn't scared to get dirty and get dirty goals. And he can play on any line. He can play in the top line, down to the fourth line. He definitely, in saying all that, the simple answer is yes, he gets my stamp of approval. I think he's a really good hockey player, and I'm happy to see him getting a chance, because he's not only a great hockey player, I got to know him, he's a great kid. And he like to see good kids do well, and just happy for him. I'm sure he's going to help the Toronto Maple Leafs. And he's exactly the type of player they needed. He goes to the dirty zones and the dirty areas to score goals, or to stick his nose in front of the net, or get in there when one of his teammates is getting pushed around. Just a great kid, and plays the game the way I love to see the game played.
Yeah, you can tell that he's on his way to becoming a fan favorite in the market. Another hometown boy, Mitch Marner. Yeah. He's looked really good to start the season, I've thought. Hasn't got the results on the score sheet. What advice would you give to him right now? A guy who's playing so well, who you know this market's kind of tough to play in. If you're not putting up points on the score sheet, fans aren't really receptive to your game. What advice would you give to him? To just keep grinding it out?
Yeah, you answered the question for me. I mean, you just got to keep working hard. Put your nose down and work hard in practice. Keep it simple. You maybe got to get one that bounces off you, or a dirty one going to that, and things will turn around. I mean, I'm not worried about his offense, to be quite honest with you. He's always going to get big offensive totals, I believe. And same with Matthews and guys like that. They're always going to be able to produce offensively. And, I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot expected of you. And when you're making big money and you're supposed to be one of the top players, the fans have every right to be on you. I mean, it happens to every hockey player who's come through, and they have the right to do that. I mean, so for me, it's just try to put all the noise out of your head and just go out and play. That's what you got to do. Just go out and play hard every night. Keep it simple and work hard. I know for a guy that's skilled like that, that's a little bit harder, but just keep it simple and play hard and work hard every night, and you'll start getting the bounces. If you play the right way, guys like Gretzky and Messier that I got the opportunity to play with, and Larry Robinson, Bob Gane, those guys told me never to get up two up and never get two down. Now, I didn't always listen to them because I was pretty emotional, but meaning just keep going out there and playing hard. And if you do the right things and play the game the right way, that's something they taught me, you'll get your points. And when you try to push too hard or trying to do too much, then sometimes it just snowballs and it gets worse and worse, and you're gripping the stick a little bit tighter. But I'm not worried about him offensively. He's going to come out of that.
Shane, one more for you. It looks like the Maple Leafs had their Halloween party the other night, and we were talking about that earlier. And I get the sense, based on some stories that I've heard, that NHL Halloween parties are some of the best events of the year. You got any juicy Halloween stories from your playing days, or maybe, you know, some unique costume ideas that you've come across through your time in the NHL?
Well, Jesus, guys, you got me on you got me there. I mean, I got to tell you, Halloween is still one of my favorite holidays of the season, because I consider it a holiday, and it's not because of the costumes or all the other stuff. It's the trick or treat, and I still go out and collect candy because I love the candy. I mean, I'm eating it for months. I mean, I've seen some incredible Halloween costumes, but I mean, like I said, the most fun I have is when the kids bring the candy home and I eat it all on them, and they're not too happy with me. And you know what? I'm already. I'm missing teeth and all kinds of stuff when I take all my teeth out. It scares the kids at the front door. So my kids tell me not to smile or look at any of the kids when they come to the front door, because I'm going to scare them just with my normal face. So it's pretty cool. But I mean, it's a fun time, and I love Halloween. I love the fall. I mean, I mentioned that I lost my dad to cancer at 45, and his favorite season was always the fall, and it's mine too. I just love this time of the year. It's not too hot, and you can wear your sweaters and jeans, and the leaves are turning, and we know the hockey season started, so I love this time of year.
Well, Shane, really appreciate you joining us today, and have a good time at the Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer event, which is taking place on October 30th.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, and you know what, it's people like you that give us the opportunity to talk about these platforms and get people out to raise money for a great cause, and I appreciate you having me on, and keep doing a great job you're doing, and thanks again for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, all the pleasure's on this side of the mic, Shane. Thank you so much. That's Shane Corson, former Maple Leafs player, part of the Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer. Go to roadhockeytoconquercancer.ca for more information on how to donate, register, and volunteer. A great guy. Like Shane Corson. I love the fact he's like, yeah, I love trick or treating, like going out there and eating all my son's candy. That's
it would
what I wanna
honestly
do.
Halloween is a convenient time to be missing your two front teeth. I always make fun of my boyfriend is Giblis. He's missing his two front teeth, and I've been kind of on him to get
What's like an ideal Halloween like costume with missing teeth though?
You just bugger your face up a little. You go out, you're spooky already. Spooks me in the
morning. I guess. Yeah.
Spooking to random people on the street.
You know what's a great Halloween costume? And I've done this before. And like, this is what I've done at parties where I don't know many people at them. Did this at university a couple times. Go as a guest book. You just write like Halloween guest book on a plain shirt, whether it's white, orange, and then you bring around a Sharpie and you get people to sign it. And it's just really good because it allows you to meet new people and get into conversation. There's a little trick for anybody out there.
Here's something. I hate Halloween. Let me just be the first to say I hate Halloween. It smells like plastic, and I don't like going out.
Well, on that note.
I don't like Halloween, but I love fall. I don't like the way Halloween smells. It smells like plastic. It's weird.
Well, Halloween's not too far away. We've got 10 days away. So
yep.
Those Halloween parties are coming fast, and that's
and
to
I'll
me, that's
be
a good one.
Thinking of all my many excuses to get out of them. That's my plan.
We'll be back tomorrow at noon. If you missed any of today's show, you could find it on tsn1050.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mike DiStefano for Juliet Tashir. You've been listening to Leafs Lunch. Gameplay with Matt Cause next.